to sift. To sift is what God will do and when the consummation of the end of this age comes, like the sheave. Looking toward that sifting and separating that only our Father can do. You know, He always leaves us a great deal of comfort in the prophets. That's why He gave us the prophets, is so we can tell what tomorrow brings. And as we come to this 30th chapter of Isaiah, let's get into it a little bit as we discuss it here. Verse 1, and it reads, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." They get their advice somewhere else. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Many times they cover my outreaching arms with kerchiefs and teach the people to fly to save their souls. I didn't send them. Verse 2, they walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, I didn't tell them to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. This is yet future. This is so that you know what happens to us in the end times. It'll be all right in Egypt. You can trust them. We need to get rid of Mubarak, though, and let the early spring come in. Oh, did they ask God about that? I don't think so. Verse 3, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan," that's the place of separation, of departure rather, "and his ambassadors come to Hanes." Verse 5, they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. And what did they do, though, to bring this on themselves? 6, the burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, for which came the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. Let's give a few billion, if you would, as a gift, so that everything comes our way. Let's buy them. You know, we've tried this ever since we had Lend-Lease in World War II. Many of you weren't here then, but boy, I can sure remember it. But here we still try to buy friends. You cannot buy friends. You earn them, you earn friendship by being good friends. When you try to buddy up to an enemy, when you're uneducated in their religion and their feelings, you're in a heap of hurt. So how many people are so bright that they give billions to their enemy? That's you know, good leadership. Verse 7, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still." That's, you know what this translates better? Old do nothing dragon. Okay, they're not going to do nothing. God, that's what God tells you right now, coming out the gate. They're not going to do anything. That is to say, that will help you. If anything, they throw a few rocks in the road. Verse 8. "Now go. Write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever." It's going to happen over and over, just as it happens today. "That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers," that's the prophets, "see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, lie to us. How many people like to hear lies? No one does, actually. But boy, we've been hearing a lot of them lately. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, who is the path? Christ is the way. Christ is the path. You get out of His way, and well, we just want smooth things. We want to be politically correct. Verse 12, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and because and trust in oppression and perversiveness, and stay thereon. You like everything that perverts. 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out as a high wall whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. A bulging wall that is so much pressure behind it and it's going to pop. It's going to happen. And he shall break it as a breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from a hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. In other words, that wall is going to be broken into many pieces. There won't be a piece big enough to dip ashes even, or especially water. It's worthless. He's going to destroy it, anything that it stands for. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you wouldn't listen. No, we can't have God in school. We can't have God at football games for little children. We can't have God anywhere. Sometimes they're going to be begging for Him. Verse 6, but ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they pursue you to be swift. 1,000 shall flee, and at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. Meaning an old bare stump on the hill saying, this is not smart, don't come this way. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, and that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all that they that wait for him. You see, you don't have to go into that deception. You don't have to go into that confusion. You can have God in your life today. You know what? He always protects His own. Wherever you are. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. If you're sincere, if you really mean it, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that means He's not helping you a whole lot, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see, and thy teachers shall see thy teachers. Who is the master teacher? Well, Christ is, of course. Anytime you let people drive Him out of your life or existence, you're in a heap of hurt. God says, I'm not letting that happen. He's going to be here. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, God's going to steer you. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ointment of the molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a mistress cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. You're tired of being deceived, misled. You want truth. And the truth sets you free. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed that thou shalt sow the ground with all and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous in the day shall thy cattle feed in large pasture. You think that's come to pass yet? It hasn't, but it shall. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear, or that's to say plow, an old Anglo-Saxon word, the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. That's harvest time. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Whoa, what towers is that? Towers of Babylon. The end is coming. The Antichrist will be here first. We know how to handle him. Piece of cake with God's help. And then he will do the rest. Those towers are coming down. The towers of Babylon. Confusion. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. It's coming, and he's going to do it. Have faith in that. Faith is the strongest medicine in the world at this time. It means you believe. Faith will take you through. Faith will let you stand. Faith defeats all enemies because your faith in God brings his hand behind you and in front of you. 27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And God is a consuming fire. Hey, he's not happy at what people are doing. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach the midst of the neck to sift. This is why we came here. This is the topic. To sift the nations with the sheave of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Those that want to be misled, he'll allow it. If you want to believe strong delusion, he'll send it. Do you know what this? Do you know what it means to sift the nations with the sheave of vanity? That means sift them into nothing. They're not. What does that mean? They're not going to exist any longer. False nations. Why? There's only going to be one nation, one king, and one Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. That's it. It's God's nation, your nation. There won't be any more of this misleading and lying to our people, because that sifting will take place. And do you know how you fare through that? In good shape. You don't have anything to worry about. He doesn't send you strong delusion. Why? He's given you the word of God, and you're one that listens to it. Chapter by chapter and verse by verse. He knows you have faith and that he can count on you. And that makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. Verse 29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept and gladness of heart. And when one goeth with a pipe to come into a mountain of the Lord, to the mighty, that's the rock of Israel, being translated properly, and the Lord, that's true rock, Christ, not the fake. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightnings down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. And you all know what that is, when he destroys the enemy. Meaning what? You've got nothing to worry about. He takes care of business, and he's telling you here exactly how he's going to do it. Dragon do nothing, and Euphrates and all those dragon do nothings on that part, they're not going to do anything. God's going to put a stop to it. It's going to happen. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian, Assyria, be beaten down, which smote with a rod. They may think they're dangerous and they're going to get something done. They're dragging do nothing. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with with tabrets and harps. In battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophat, you know what that is? That's the place of burning. Is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. That's Gehenna and Tophat. That's the meaning. They're going to hell if they don't change their ways. And that's why you have the Word of God. And some would say, well, that makes God sound like a pretty evil person. No, He loves you. He loves those that follow Him, and He's tired of them being lied to, misled, misguided. And He's going to put a stop to it. That's what He's telling you here. Well, what brings that forth to my mind? Your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith strengthens you. Don't ever let it waver, especially in this generation. It's one of the most important things you possess, is your faith. Now, let's go to the minor prophets, Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 5 of that ninth chapter. And verse 5 reads in Amos 9, "And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt, as the old Nile would each year. It's going to wash all the bad things away." Verse 6, "It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth." That's his election. He can count on them. They have faith. "He hath called for the waters of the sea, and poured them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Verse 7, "Are ye not as the children of Ethiopians unto me?" Those that don't believe, that won't study. "O children of Israel, saith the Lord, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt?" You're not deceived by those people. "And the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians," that's Assyria, "from Kerr," from Africa. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saying that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord." There, that remnant of salvation and Emmanuel shall remain in that open path left even all the way through the millennium. But verse 9, "For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sheaf. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." I won't lose anything that deserves saving. Maybe I should tell you something about the Hebrew word to sift. It's not like you might, most of you are used to a flour sifter that you turn the handle and it sprinkles. That's not the old sifter. The old sifter was a rack with a screen in it, and you shook the living daylights out of it, okay? The very Hebrew word means to shake to and fro. Shake it, shake it, shake it. God's going to do some shaking. It's going to happen. It's not just a little gentle turn the wheel and sift. It's a shaking, and a great shaking that's going to take place. Do you have anything to worry about? Of course not. What did he say there? not one grain going to be lost that loves Him, that follows Him. He knows how to take care of His own. I know I bring it up quite often, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He knows how to take care of His own in the worst of times. And what are you worried about? Well, have you listened to the news? Yes, I have. It's sounding better every day. We're getting there. And God's still on the throne. It's a precious thing. The sifting is about to begin, and that's the topic of this subject. So he knows how to get it done. Verse 10, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. What sword is that? The sword of the Lord. That's the truth. The tongue of the Lord will overcome them. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, King David, and the King of Kings will sit on it, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. That's even Russia. You mean he's going to save Russia? No, read on. Now listen to what God says. The remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which, this is the condition, which are called by my name. Now what in the world would that mean? Christian. Regardless of who they are, if they've converted to Christianity, they're in good standing, saith the Lord, that doeth this. And he's going to do it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. We're going to have a renewing. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and you won't get taxed out of your pocket, okay? And your labors you will be able to enjoy, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord their God. That hasn't happened yet, but we're in the process of building to it. That's why even the prophets wanted to live today when you are. So I don't want to see you shaken. I want you to stand proud, a child of God. Nothing to fear. God loves you. He protects you. He looks after you. Your faith keeps you strong. How precious it is. Now, it so happens there's someone else going to do a little sifting, though. It's beautiful to know the truth. But you have to know the other side of that truth also, because that's what sets you free. Let's go to the New Testament, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to pick it up with verse 24. This is just before the crucifixion. And there was also strife among them, this is the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest? Which of us, gentle souls of God, will be the greatest in heaven? Man is strange, is he not? You know, here they've got the Savior still walking in front of them. Are they discounting him being in heaven as the greatest? And who are they? Wonder which of us will be the greatest. All right. Verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. I don't want you to have it that way. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. 27. For whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Well, you would say so. But I am among you, and also he that serveth. I'm the one that feeds you, he says. He's the one that washed their feet. Because he loved them. And the greater must always serve. Whom God gives much, he expects much. And they'd better produce. That's just the way it is. Well, and that kind of is an humbling fact when you give God all the credit. And what does it leave you? Not much. Except joy and happiness and the thrill that you're his child. But the greatest thrill is if he can use you, that's wonderful. That's if he calls you, you say, if he say, whose can I send? You say, I, Lord, because you're ready. You know. You can cut it. You can plow deep. But that doesn't make you better than anyone else. God's elect are not better than anyone else. They just made that stand in the first earth age, and bless your hearts, we are going to do it again. We're going to show the unlearned how it is done. Why? Because we have faith. And God leads us. So it is. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. You've been with me as Satan tempted me. You knew about that. And I covenanted unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. I've told you, you're going to be a part of that kingdom. It's yours. Wow, think of that. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Only in this place in the millennium do you assist in that category. Not until 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. He didn't call him Peter, Peter. He didn't call him Barjona, Barjona, son of the dove, son of the... He called him Simon, Simon. Why? That means hearing, hearing. Or you listen to me. Satan, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, you see, this, well, it's so beautiful. I didn't know we had to have any opposition. Satan's still very much alive. Okay. And we've got to make a stand against him. And God is not the only one that sifts. Satan can sift also. But do you have anything to worry about even with that? Well, oh, Peter, how did he handle it? What did Christ then continue to say? Listen carefully. 32. But I have prayed for thee. Ooh, think of that. That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The Lord prayed for him. Can you imagine that? Do you think he hasn't done the same thing for you? Have you never read Luke chapter 10, verse 19 forward? I give you power over all of your enemies if you have the faith to cut it. If you can realize that, you have power over every enemy. And you have the knowledge to know how to handle an enemy. Your faith is ever, ever so important. You know, if Satan was really working on you, what did I say that word shift, sift meant? It means to shake. If he comes around trying to shake you, you're unshakable. Not going to bother you one iota. You know God has his hand on you, that he's depending on you, and Satan cannot have you. Again, what was that item that set Peter free? Old Simon, the hearing, Bar-Jonah, the son of the dove, all those, Cephas, the rock. Those are all Peter's names in different languages. Faith. Faith is what God gave him. And faith will always see you through. Don't ever forget that you're going to need it. Better remember it. Your faith. Well, for a moment I wavered. Don't. To doubt is to doubt every promise of God. That's why faith is so very, very important. Don't you waver. We're not playing church. This is real. Our Father is on the throne, and the Son is with Him. And He has prayed that your faith and has given you power in His name. Don't forget to use His name. That's where the power comes from. It will always see you through. Do you know what happened to poor old Peter after that? What Peter said is he's going to sift you like wheat, but God had prayed for him. But what did Peter do? Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Can you imagine that? And you know something? Skip to verse 55 in closing. Here, Peter's, Judas has given Christ the kiss of death, delivered him up to the enemy. And Peter's following along. He didn't run. He's following along. He's sitting outside where they're having the trial. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. And he said, this man also was with him, pointed Peter out. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Hey, this is the rock. This is Cephas. He denied Christ. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. That's twice. In about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. You can tell by his clothes. That's three times. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He knew. Mind you, he's at his trial, and the Lord turns around and catches Peter's eye. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. We're not going there, but I want you to make a note of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, where Peter will tell you again, hey, old Satan lurks out there. You better be careful. Keep your faith, and you have nothing to worry about. Faith is just absolutely what keeps a good Christian, is knowing that God's word is true. And that you can handle that word. God has a purpose and a destiny for His election. And even though you were sifted, shaken by Him, that's good. And you might as well know He's tipping you off. Satan's going to try to shake you. If you're delivered up in front of Him, even with kind words, He's going to try to shake you. Your faith is so strong that He knows with one word in Christ's name, you can overcome Him with words by the Holy Spirit. So faith becomes a powerful source. So there's a shaking. That's to sift. And that sifting is fine. It's part of God's plan. You've got nothing to worry about it. Why? You know, I guess one of the hardest things for a Christian to finally come to full realization, you're a child of God. And when you're a child of God, He loves you and protects you. He enables you. That voice you hear behind you, don't go that way, go this way. And He guides you. That's faith in knowing that He cares. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for Your guidance. Thank You for giving us that Word. Use each of these. Let them be a blessing in all they come in contact with, Father. Use them to the glory of Thy kingdom. We ask it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Beast on CD is our free...